from the buildup of forces along the border.
A Russian military convoy getting closer to
Russian troops near the Ukraine border in early
to the outbreak of war.
It'd be interesting to see if the Russians move up from the south.
To allegations of human rights abuses and war crimes.
Bodies lying in the streets before Russian troops withdrew.
The civilian bodies were left lying dead for weeks.
Audiences around the world have seen the Russia-Ukraine conflict unfold almost in real time. Not from the ground, but from space.
Satellite imagery firstly provides a different angle. You're looking at it from above. So you're seeing something very different to what you would see from street level or from a human height. But more importantly, you're gathering data over such a large area that would just not be practically possible for a traditional journalist. It enables you to have access to imagery that is taken perhaps every day or every week of everywhere on Earth. And that is hugely powerful for telling stories.
Satellite imagery has been used historically to document a variety of atrocities and human rights abuses. We saw an important example of this when Secretary of State Madeleine Albright released satellite images of alleged mass graves during the war in Bosnia. There was the UN Security Council presentation by Colin Powell before the US went to war against Iraq, and the use of satellite images of alleged weapons of mass destruction. And there were all kinds of controversies, of course, related to that. So this is not a new practice, but because we're seeing so many news media outlets use these images now, seems to be a novelty associated with it.
One of the companies that has benefited the most from that novelty is US-based satellite company Maxar Technologies.
The American satellite intelligence company Maxar.
Maxar satellite images.
These images, which were produced by Maxar Technology on the 19th of March.
Whether it's natural disasters, mass demonstrations, or collaborating with the BBC on an investigation into human rights abuses in Cameroon, Maxar have led the way in introducing the satellite image to the news media. That all came in handy when the Ukraine war broke out, and the company was poised to take advantage of the media interest.
Maxar has become a stock turnaround story. It's up some 175% over the past year.
Maxar has somewhat become a household name.
An earlier image from Maxar Technologies shows one of those same Russian ships.
In the past, much of the imagery that they provided was done on a fairly ad hoc basis, but in recent years, they actually formalized their news bureau to more coherently share not only imagery, but in-depth analytics with the news media. That is all pro bono work for them. There is no revenue model around working with the media. The Earth observation industry in general, whether you're talking about Maxar here in the US, Airbus in France and Europe, and ImageSat International in Israel, generates about 80% of its revenues from government, defense, and intelligence customers.
Most of the world's major satellite companies actually began life in the military and intelligence services. It wasn't too long ago that satellite imaging was the sole preserve of states. And as the Cold War thawed, many began to offload the huge expense and financial risk of operating these satellites to the private sector. In the US, for example, President Bill Clinton passed a law in the early 90s opening up the use of satellite imaging to private industry. And out of that comes many of today's top geospatial imaging companies, names like PlanetLogic, BlackSky, and of course, Maxar. And to this day, the apple hasn't fallen far from the tree.
The Department of Defense and intelligence agencies in the United States, they're the primary contractors, and they get up to 80% of their satellite image data from these private companies. The federal government has also subsidized a lot of the development of these satellites. They are hand in glove, in a sense.
In the case of a situation like the Russia-Ukraine conflict, it's pretty common to see Russian troop movements, but you know, I have yet to see a single image of Ukrainian troop movements. Now, is that a conscious decision on the part of these companies to withhold that, or is there a government requirement to withhold what could be damaging, you know, tactical information on U.S. allies? And it's probably a combination of the both.
We need to always be asking, every time we see a satellite image in the news, what is being shown? What does the caption say? Who put the arrows and the circles into the graphic field of that image? And what is being argued on the basis of that image? Who generated the satellite image?
The answer is, whoever has the money. Here's how it works. Firstly, you have to launch the satellite into space, and then you have to position it over where in the world you want to image. That's called tasking, and it's expensive, very expensive. Something only the seriously big players, like governments and mega corporations, can afford. But once the satellite is in position, the market opens up, and some of the images it takes can be bought and sold for a more reasonable price, or even shared for free. And that's helped open source journalists, people who investigate stories based on publicly available data, to take advantage of satellite imagery to power their reporting.
So thinking back to January this year, there were all of these reports in the media about Russia building up troops on the border with Ukraine. So we speculated that if an invasion was imminent, these troops would assemble in smaller staging areas closer to the border. In order to work out whether this was happening, I created maps or images, let's say, of data taken from a European Space Agency satellite. Their data is generally all freely available. However, this imagery was in very low resolution. All I could see was effectively just a series of blobs. Then what we went ahead and did was order high-resolution imagery of that location that was suspicious. And it turned out that, in fact, yes, there was a Russian base that was being built up relatively closer to the border with Ukraine. At the same time, there were many other people who were tracking TikTok posts of very much similar things. And it all just sort of builds together and forms a more concrete proof of what is going on.
As far as the news media is concerned, satellite imagery is still an emerging technology. And like most new tech, drones, social media, the internet, it can often hide an implicit bias, illuminating our view of some stories whilst quietly diverting our attention away from others. And its origins as a means of state-sponsored surveillance should really make us ask questions, not only about what the satellite sees, but what it overlooks.
Satellite imagery is often classified as a surveillance technology. I think that is a misconception, just because it so happened that it was first born out of the military-industrial complex doesn't necessarily mean that it can't have massive positive impacts across a whole number of fields, whether it's predicting or monitoring the impact of droughts and climate change, whether it's monitoring infrastructure for damage and very quickly responding, whether it's a disaster response. There are many, many different kinds of applications outside of defense. And I think what we're seeing right now is that there's a growing recognition of this.
It's being integrated more and more into our news media landscape, and it is having impacts on us as consumers, as citizens. It can involve us in a sense of having the power to patrol and monitor events across the planet. The satellite has an aesthetic that makes us feel like we can see and know anything at the push of a button. And it's just, that's not a reality. It's really important that we have journalists and the public trained to use and read satellite images and to be able to have critical media literacy around them.